All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of O365, eh? In this episode, we're going to be talking about some of the major announcements and features that are going to be coming or being removed from the Microsoft 365 tenants. And so I'm going to pass it over to Dino to lead us off.
Thanks, Hap. So April was a busy month, and there's lots of new announcements with respect to Teams, so I'll get right into it. So in terms of meetings and calling, Microsoft's increased the number of simultaneous video streams in Teams meeting. That's probably the most exciting of these announcements. So today we have 2x2 or 4 total videos, and they're increasing it to 3x3 or 9 total video panes in a meeting, which is exciting. So this has been a highly demanded feature, especially during the COVID situation. So expect to see that rolling out in your tenants in the near future. Also, in Teams meetings, you can raise your hand now. So again, if you've ever been in a meeting, that awkward situation of just blurting out, hey, I need to have a question, now you can just raise your hand, and the meeting organizer, people moderating the meeting, will see that and then can, you know, at the appropriate time, pause and ask you to unmute and ask your question. So that's great. We've got background effects in meetings. So no, we're not all in the same location based on our video. We happen to be using the background effects in Teams video. So you can choose from a number of stock images to change your background when it's appropriate. For iOS, has received background blur. So from your iOS client, if you're in a meeting or you're just chatting with somebody on video, you can turn on background blur in iOS. Not sure if or when that's coming for Android, so I'll have to wait and see. In terms of keeping with the mobile experience, live captions is being enabled for iOS and Android, so you can now turn that on if you need to see the captioning for users. If you're having in a situation where you can't have the volume turned up, for example, you just want to see what's being spoken. Like 365 live events is a limited time increase in the usage capability. So attendee limit is going up to 20,000 from 10,000. You can have up to 50 concurrent events hosted in one tenant. And the event duration is increased to 16 hours per broadcast. So again, this, I believe, will go roll out till July 1st to help address some of the COVID demand. As well, in live events, you can share your system audio now. You couldn't do that previous. So now the feature that you have in the Teams client, you can also do in a live event. So sharing your system audio, another welcome feature. And again, in meetings, you have the end meeting functionality. So you can, as the moderator of a meeting, you can decide, you know, before you would leave the meeting, you could just say end, which basically kicks everybody out. The people that were in that meeting still have the ability to chat, but if you don't want people lingering around in a meeting, you can actually physically end it now. And the one-to-one call recording functionality has come to Teams. So previously that was limited to meetings such as this, but now in a one-to-one conversation, you can enable recording. In terms of the phone experience, so this is for Teams phone devices. There are quite a number of them out there from many different manufacturers. So the look and feel has been updated, and there's a new UI which allows the dial pad to always be visible. So it's a much more, it's a better experience to make phone calls. It's much easier, so you don't have to fumble around a screen to get to the calling pad, which is what you used to have to do before. You can also choose between landscape and portrait mode, which I like specifically, depending on the model of phone you have. You can add and remove favorites from the phone now. So the people you're calling a lot and most convenient. You have the group call pickup option, which allows you to configure a group of people that you might want to pick up a call for. So if you're in a common area that has a number of phones and a phone's ringing, you can pick up that phone call that's ringing maybe 3 or 4 desks away from you, right from your own device. In terms of the new phone settings, there's delegation management So you can manage delegates right from your Teams phone device now. You can customize your ringtones. So different types of calls can have different ringtones, whether it's a call for you or it's a call maybe from your that's ringing on behalf of a delegate, for example. You can change the ringtone so you know whom it might be for. And lastly, they've added extension dialing capabilities. So you can dial an extension from your phone. So what they've done is have a 3-second delay. So if you dial in a 5-digit extension, for example, to do internal calling, after 3 seconds, that extension, if it's legitimate, will be dialed. So that's a nice feature for those using extension-based dialing. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Mike, and he's going to talk about some new things as well.
Thank you, Dino. Yeah, I think one of the big ones with everyone doing these mass enablements of their organizations and teams is there's now channel analytics. So this is extending the team analytics that's available on a team-by-team basis if you go under a managed team. Now you'll get metrics around each channel to see what channels are, driving adoption or getting a lot of usage from, how many replies, how many posts. And you're able to set the kind of the time range from 7 days, 30 days to 90 days. So now you can do that as a team owner or as a MINS to see how your teams are tracking and if you need to do additional initiatives to drive more adoption in your teams as an owner. So some other changes, one I just kind of remembered off the top of my mind was the before with a lobby, if you admitted someone from your lobby and you kicked them out of your meeting for whatever reason, they would have that authorization from the lobby and get back into the meeting without hitting the lobby again. They've made a change to that so that if you admit people from the lobby and you remove them from the meeting, that they will land back in the lobby and have to be admitted again. And that's mostly targeted around like kind of the education experience and stop some of the meeting jumping and some of those activities. Another big change is the planner app within Teams is going to be renamed eventually to the tasks app. And so this app is going to be able to see your individual tasks that are kind of powered by To-Do and available in Outlook tasks, as well as your Teams tasks that are available in Planner. And so in the interim, I think the name will be Tasks by Planner and To-Do. So it's easy to search depending on what you're looking for, if you're looking for Task, Planner, or To-Do. But eventually, after a few months after it's rolled out, it will be just named Tasks. So it'll have a new logo and everything. A feature that we've lost kind of during this time is the people timeline in Microsoft Stream. So Microsoft has announced that they're going to retire this as of June 1st, and this feature is going to lose all the teams, all the stream timeline data is going to be permanently deleted by July 15th this year. So this was a feature that if you did like a Teams meeting recording or you're using stream recordings, that they could use some AI to see who is talking at certain parts within the time of the video. And then you can kind of scroll across the video's length and see who's talking at those specific intervals. It was a pretty interesting feature, but not much usage, pretty low usage, especially with everyone using Stream. And it was also one of the features that got disabled during kind of the feature adjustments during the onboarding. So that feature is going to go away. So just plan for that if you're leveraging that today. And with that, I know Hab has a lot of information that's coming down the pipe around Microsoft Threat Protection. So Hab, I'll throw it to you.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. So from a security perspective, there's, a lot of applications and products that Microsoft has put out from an ATP perspective. So Office 365 ATP, Microsoft Defender ATP, Azure ATP and Identity Protection, and then with the applications for Cloud App Security. So each one of them will protect against a certain functionality, so email, endpoints, identity, and applications. And each one of those has its own console and admin center and management capabilities as well. So Microsoft is introducing this Microsoft Threat Protection effective June 1st. And it's going to be enabled automatically for all of the different tenants with some exclusions that I'll talk about shortly. So if you have any of the enterprise E5 type of SKUs, so Microsoft 365 E5, enterprise and mobility and security, Office 365, Microsoft Defender ATP, Azure Advanced ATP Cloud. There's so many different ATP applications that are out there. I'll name them all in the blog post as well. So we'll put all the links in there too. So basically what's going to be changing is they're going to be consolidating all of these different data sets into a single pane of glass, which is Microsoft Threat Protection. And the way to access that is by going to security.microsoft.com. So your administrators will be able to see all of the different data sets coming into one location. And with that, you have the ability to automatically or automate, you know, defenses to detect, block, and prevent attacks and heal the affected assets that you're trying to protect. So three new things that are going to be coming in are incidents, which basically consolidating all the security data and alerts into the security center across different products, different product incidents. Then there's an action center, which is again as a centralized incident response capabilities that you can enable to self-heal assets affected by alerts, again, that are all across products and identities. And then the last one is called Advanced Hunting, which is a query-based threat hunting tool, which uses KQL. And I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it properly, but it's either Custo or Custo query language.
Custo.
Okay. Thanks, Curtis. That lets you explore up to 30 days of raw data. So you can proactively inspect events within the network to locate indicators. You know, for both unknown and known or potential threats. So with that, I mean, there's some exclusions within the regions. So this does not apply to the UAE, United Arab Emirates, Switzerland, Germany, Singapore, South Africa, and Norway. It's also excluded from the U.S. government GCC cloud and the GCC high cloud, along with the U.S. Department of Defense. Lastly, the customer data is stored in the same location that you have your geo set up for the Microsoft Defender ATP customer data. So in the three regions, it's going to be either European Union, United Kingdom, or United States. So depending on what your tenant, where your tenant is located, the data will be stored at rest in those locations. So for instance, in Canada, it would be stored in the United States at rest for that type of functionality for the Microsoft Threat Protection. So with that, I mean, it's a lot of information on the security side of things. So I have not been able to find out how to turn it off or defer this functionality. But if I do, I'll include it in the blog post. And I will pass it on to Curtis to give us some additional updates.
Great. Thanks, Abe. So three big preview features that have come to Azure AD, which greatly affect administration for both Azure AD and Office 365. Probably one of the biggest pain points with administering both Azure AD and Office 365 has been this concept of delegating to a certain segment of your organization. And probably the biggest use case there was delegation for regional administration. So this is a bigger pain for larger organizations who had a regional administration model. And there was no Azure AD grouping or admin feature that allowed you to delegate to regional administrators. There were RBAC roles, but they essentially applied to all resources in Azure AD. So in preview, Microsoft has announced the support for administrative units. And what these allow you to do is to, in preview, only user and groups are supported. So you can create these containers and add users and groups to these containers and then delegate administration to those resource containers. So that's great, like I said, for any scenario which requires a delegation of admin permissions, like the help desk administrator role scenario in a particular region. To set this up, you need to be a global administrator or a privileged role administrator in the Azure AD tenant, and that's done in the Azure AD portal. Closely related is another preview feature called My Staff, and it piggybacks off of administrative units. And what it allows you to do is delegate some sort of authority figure, like a store manager or team lead, permission to delegate certain Azure AD administrative functions over that staff. Things like resetting passwords or changing phone numbers for that group of people, you can delegate to someone in charge. And again, so that uses the administrative unit as the container to delegate the administrative actions. And another big one announced in preview is SMS authentication. So this targets the huge pain we all have with usernames and passwords. That can add a lot of friction to a lot of services that use Azure AD for authentication. This allows users to sign in without needing to provide or even know their username and password. Essentially, they provide their phone number as the username, and then they're sent a text message, an SMS text message, which allows them to authenticate. So this is huge for frontline workers and other scenarios where people just can't remember or use usernames and passwords. So this is another authentication mechanism, and it's set up with a policy. And you can use multiple authentication mechanisms on an Azure AD identity. To use this, like as I mentioned, it's in preview, but you do require an Azure AD Premium 1 or Premium 2 license for every user that uses this method of authentication. And that's included in, I think, M365, some of those SKUs, and also Enterprise Mobility E3 or E5. So three big features there for Azure AD, which I assume as this feature set matures, it'll include more resources other than just users and groups, which will allow it to expand to Office 365 administration. So that's pretty exciting. So that's about it on that front. I'll pass it back to Habib.
Awesome. Thanks, Kurt. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a significant amount of updates that have been coming out since April. Especially with COVID coming out, you know, I think Microsoft's done a really good job in pushing a lot of that functionality to enable, you know, remote users and stuff like that. And along with, I guess, from Dino's side of things, where, you know, he's talking about the Teams features and functionality. And then now Curtis, same thing with, you know, some of this new identity management and stuff like that while people are all on the go. So great discussion. I think, yeah, I'll end it there. And thanks, everybody, for listening in. And hopefully we'll catch you on our next episode.
Thanks.
See you.